For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Thursday afternoon service of July the 4th, 1996, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the speaker for the afternoon.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Happened, and she said, that's the problem with your child. There's an evil spirit in your house, and that Buddha, and it lives in that Buddha. And you'll have to get rid of that Buddha. And she said, well, we can't do that. We paid a lot of money for it. Irma said, which is the most important, the Buddha or the child? I said, well, we'll sell it. Irma said, do you want somebody else to have the same problem? And they said, well, what are we going to do with it then? I said, you're going to have to destroy it. And they said, well, we'll take it out and bury it in the backyard. So then pretty soon they decided, well, first they said, we'll put it in the garage. Then they said, well, we'll bury it in the backyard. Irma said, well, that's not going to solve the problem. So you're going to have to renounce it and get rid of it. So finally they took a sledgehammer and broke it up and renounced it. And then Irma said, go in the room and pray in the room. They went in the room, and that child never had another problem. It was from this item that was in the house that was an abomination to God. That was our first experience with don't bring an abominable thing into your house. But if we'd have gone around telling people, you know, about that where we were, because there was our tradition never had anything, our Pentecostal heritage never had anything with taking anything out of your house. But then we had another incident that happened after we moved here, about 3 years after we moved here. The lady who bought this property, who found this property for us, her daughter was very, very sick. And we really didn't know it, didn't know the girl. Her name is Sharon. And her father had had a bad heart attack, and I had gone up to the hospital and gone into the intensive care unit and prayed for him and rebuked the spirit of death over him. And the next day, why, the doctors couldn't find anything wrong with him. So she wrote a little card to Irma thanking me for going and praying for her father. And on the bottom of the card, she said, I'm very sick. Pray for me, too. And that sat on Irma's desk for a couple of weeks or so. And Irma kept thinking, I need to go pray for her. I don't know her, but she was a Nazarene girl. And that was her background. And then, not anymore. And but the Nazarenes are good people, and they've got salvation, and they teach it. So Lord bless them. But so one day Irma was going along, and she said, I need to go to her house and pray for her. And when she went by her house, which is up here on the highway, she saw her mother's car in the driveway. And she went on to town and did what she was doing and came back to the grocery store to get some groceries. Now, when she went by the house, just like hot oil came down over her, and the anointing. And she went to the grocery store and got out of the car and started into the grocery store. And when she did, this like hot oil just come down all over again. And she thought, I just got to go pray for her. If I go in here and buy meat and things, and it was in the middle of August, hot like it is, has been here the last couple of days, I won't be able to stop because I'll have these things in the car. So she got back in the car and went out to the house. When she knocked on the door, her father came to the door, and he was crying. And Irma said, what's the matter? And he said, they gave Sharon up today. And she said, what's the matter? He said, she has colon of the cancer, and the doctors have told us there's nothing more they can do for her. He said, go on in and see her. So Irma went on in, and her mother was in the room with her, and so was her little two-year-old daughter. And she was propped up in bed, and Irma looked at her, and she said, she weighed 68 pounds, and she was just propped up in bed. And they asked Irma, she said, her mother said, come over here by her and pray for her. And Irma said, what can I do? But she had come back. So Irma went over to pray for her. And she said to her, she said, I don't know how to pray for you. I'll have to pray for you in tongues. Well, you know, the Nazarenes kind of teach that that's of the devil. And she said, that's all right. So Irma laid hands on her head, started to pray for her. And when Irma did, she said it was like a bowl of light came down and came down this way, went down her arm and went in to Sharon. And Irma finished praying. She prayed for her in tongues. And then she said to Sharon, she said, I believe you're healed. And Sharon said, I believe I am too. Well, when Irma turned around, the wall of this house was covered with pictures of owls. And there was one great big picture, expensive pictures. And Irma said to Sharon, Irma didn't know what, she just said it. She didn't know why she said it. If she'd have thought, she wouldn't have said it. But she said, oh, that's why you're sick. You've got to get rid of those. And Sharon said, yes, that big owl there looked mean at me when you prayed for me. And Irma said, he's the king in here. Well, I'll make it real short because we've got a lot to do here. Over a period of a couple of weeks, Irma convinced them and her mother that they needed to take all this out of the house. Well, they took the owls off of the wall, and her husband did, and put them in the closet. But they didn't clean the house out yet. And everywhere in this house, there was owls hanging that followed you, you know, and all kinds of things in this house. Anyway, Irma walked through the house before she left, and in that little girl's room was a big frog with big red eyes. Big frog, that was her toy box. So in about 2 weeks, another thing happened. She called her husband at work, who was an attorney. She called him and said, I've been prayed for and I'm healed. And I want to go out to dinner tonight. Now, she hadn't been able to keep anything down for 6 weeks. And she couldn't even drink water. It passed through her like it bloody. Or she threw it up because her intestines was completely eat up with cancer. And he said, what's the matter with you? And she said, well, I've been prayed for and I'm healed. And he thought, yeah, you're crazy too. He said, well, as soon as I get out of court, I've got to be in court for a while, I'll be right home. So Irma left and he came home and he took her out to eat that night. And she called Irma about 9 o'clock and said, we went out to eat tonight. And she said, you did. What'd you have? She said, a hamburger, a Coke, and French fries. Irma didn't say to her, but she said when she hung up, she said either she's healed or she'll be dead before morning. And that was true, because she hadn't eaten anything, couldn't keep anything down. Well, she kept it down, but in about 2 weeks, she began to gain weight, and every half a pound or pound she gained, well, we had a rejoicing victory. But in about 2 weeks, she called Irma one day and said, come up here quick. And Irma said, why? She said, just come quick. So Irma went up and she went in. She said, I've called Mother. She'll be here. And when they got there, she said, get this stuff out of the house. Get it out of the house. She said, today, Amy went in the closet and got that picture of that big owl and drug it in and put it under my bed. And I couldn't stop her. I wasn't strong enough to stop her. And she said, when I walked down the hall, something grabbed me and I started to vomit and have diarrhea again. She said, clear the house out. Her mother said, well, you've got a lot of expensive things here. And she said, clear it out. I just got to go. So they began to clear the house out. She had clothes that had owls on them. She had pocketbooks with owls. She had baby bottles with owls. She had perfume of owls. She had everything. She had owls of every kind. And she collected them. It was a phobia with her. Well, they cleaned it all out. And she had a pocketbook that had cost a couple hundred dollars. And she said, her mother said, well, we'll take this and sell it. And she said, no, you won't. You get it out of here. So she said, what are we going to do with it? She said, I don't know. She said, just get it out of here. So in a couple of days, her mother called me and said, what are we going to do with this? I said, you bring it out here and we'll burn it. She said, my trunk is full. My car is full. I said, you bring it out here. So they brought it out, and that was before we'd filled the pond in, and the bulldozer was sitting out here by this tree. That tree's got about 6 feet of fill around it. Anyway, there was a big pond out here, and the bulldozer was sitting out there. So I took the bulldozer and took the blade and dug a hole in the ground by the edge of the pond. And we put all this stuff in there and set it on fire and broke the curses and burned it. Now, we didn't really know what we were doing because we had to learn. But from this experience and the other one, we learned about don't bring an abominable thing into your house. And that you become a cursed thing like it. Let's look at that in Deuteronomy 7. There's another story goes with that, but I'll not talk about that. Some of you heard about James Robinson and Colin Davis, about the things that he had to destroy. Verse 25 of Deuteronomy 7 says, "The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. You shall not desire the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." Now we have found that pictures, Buddhas, frogs, figurines, lots of things are a cursed thing that you shouldn't have in your house. And the Lord will have to show you, there are a lot of pictures that are painted in foreign countries or painted by the Indians who are dedicated to the gods. And we had one instance of a picture that would light up at night in a child's room, and it would look like it was on fire, burning at night. And finally they realized there was a problem. They took the picture and pulled it apart, and on the back of it was a Hindu prayer. Was dedicated to a Hindu god, and that god lived in that picture, and it came in the room and manifested itself at night and tormented the child. Well, Sharon gradually gained a pound and 2 pounds and 5 pounds and 10 pounds, and the doctors told her, and she told the doctors that she was healed. They said, "Well, if it doesn't come back in 5 years, well, we'll consider it." Well, that has been about. For we've been here 22 years. That was about four or five years after we were here. So that's been 18 years ago. She has to diet now to stay under 135 pounds. And it has never come back. She lives over in Memphis. Well, bless the Lord. Well, anyway, that's experiences that we had with bringing an abominable thing into your house. We had to look and see and find the scriptures for it, you see, because it was nothing that we had been taught or knew about. So here's one scripture about not bringing a bondal thing into your house. And there are others that you can find where God says these are an abomination to him. Don't bring them into your house. And some of them are some things that you eat. We had another experience that happened here in this auditorium. We used to have a Bible study on Thursday nights. And one Thursday night, there is a tradition in the Pentecostal and Baptist groups of a statement that's made that said, "I plead the blood." That is erroneous, which you will find if you start dealing in deliverance. Now, God has honored it to our ancestors and my mother, who will be 95 a week from Sunday. Next Sunday, she'll be 95, and she still, it's tradition in her, and she can't get it out of her, and God has honored it. He has honored it. But if you're dealing in deliverance with demons, they will laugh at you, because you have no scriptural basis for the statement, "I plead the blood." Because the blood of the Lord Jesus is a freely given, it's given to us freely for salvation. And the only thing that demons will listen to is it is written, and it has to be correct that it is written. And the statement, "I plead the blood," has no scriptural basis. But there are 5 scriptural bases for the blood of the Lord Jesus. There's 5 of them, and I will mention them here so I can get to my point. There's scriptures to apply the blood. You can apply the blood for whatever. You can appropriate the blood. Appropriate the blood. You can cover with the blood. You can sprinkle with the blood. Now that's 4. Now somebody tell me the 5th one. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Amen.
And so there are five scriptural bases for using the blood of the Lord Jesus. And we were having a Bible study here one night, and we were going through looking up all the scriptures that are used, that you can use in these areas for our Bible study. And there was a woman here who that night went home, and the Lord woke her up in the night and laid on her heart to get up and look up all the scriptures that relate to the blood. So turn with me to Leviticus chapter 3, and we'll start where that begins. Leviticus chapter 3, I was reading in that chapter that night, one of the verses that relates to the five applications of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Verse 13 of Leviticus relates to one of these verses. And verse 13 says, and so does verse 6 of chapter 4. But verse 13 says, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereon upon the altar around about. There's an application for sprinkling of the blood. And again, over in verse 6 of chapter 4 is another. There are 26 verses that I have found that apply to the blood of the Lord Jesus in the relation that we're going to find in just a moment. Now, I read that verse, and without any reason, and for no purpose whatever, I finished reading the chapter. The chapter only has four more verses. And verse 17 says, it shall be a perpetual statute through your generations. What is perpetual? Then it can't be done away with. So perpetual still stands today. Throughout all your dwellings, that you do what? That you eat neither fat nor blood. And today the doctors have found in the last few years that eating of fat, we have all kinds of heart trouble and plaque and all of that stuff, because we've disobeyed the word of the Lord that God gave to Moses for the children of Israel, for us, 3,000 years ago. And we know better than God, so we do what we want. So we've got heart trouble and got to have our veins reamed out and have heart transplants and all of that because we've disobeyed the word of the Lord. But he said, neither nor blood. So this woman, the Lord laid on her heart to get up and find all the scriptures she could find about the eating of blood. And I have found 26 throughout the scriptures. Several of them are given by Paul in his writings. And the Lord, she thought, well, Lord, what does that have to do with me? And then the Lord reminded her that her grandmother and her great-grandmother, so her mother had told her, made blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup. Now, to her knowledge, she had never eaten any. And to her knowledge, her mother had never made any. But her grandmother and her great-grandmother had. And her grandmother had eaten it. Now, she had gone to the doctor just 2 days before. And this day that we had the Bible study, the doctor had called her and told her that she was a borderline diabetic. She hadn't been to the doctor for 5 or 8 years. And this, she had just gone in for a checkup because she hadn't been for so long. She was a borderline diabetic. Immediately, she realized that her mother had died with sugar diabetes. Her grandmother had died with sugar diabetes. Her great-grandmother had died with sugar diabetes. The doctor tells her she's a borderline, and she has two sisters, with one of them has already lost one foot from sugar diabetes. And the Lord impressed on her that the cause of their sugar diabetes was the eating of blood, contrary to the word of the Lord. So we had prayer meeting Saturday night. She was there, didn't say anything. We had church Sunday morning, and there was about 25 of us just over here in service that Sunday morning. And after praise and worship, I said, are there anybody have a prayer request or anything? And she said, I'd like to say something. I said, say on. So she said what I've just told you, except she added that the Lord impressed on me that if you would pray for me and break the curse of eating of blood off of me, that the Lord would heal me. And I said, if the Lord told you, I'll pray for you. I said, anybody else? There were 9 people who stood with her for prayer that morning. For me to pray, my first prayer to break a curse off of somebody for anything because I had no idea what I was doing, except I did it because she said God told her to have me to do it. Now, I'm not saying that eating of blood is the only cause of sugar diabetes. There are other causes, I believe, besides. But that's one cause of sugar diabetes and hyperglycemia is the eating of blood and rare meat. And we worked with a woman one time who ate a pound of raw hamburger every day. But we have found in praying with people that people who eat raw meat have a problem with lust, sexual lust. People who like raw meat also have, most of them have a major problem with sexual lust. And so that was our introduction to curses. Now then, I've got to find out what I have prayed for her about, just like with the Buddha and with the owls. I had to find out about the abominable things. And there's a whole list of them in the Bible, of abominable things. And then I have to find out now about the eating of blood and the curse. So that's when I begin my study and found about the 10 generation and the 4 generation curses from that incident that happened. And begin to come to the understanding of curses that come upon us because we disobey the word of the Lord and because our ancestors have disobeyed them. And these curses, I have found that it's necessary to pray sometimes back 30, 40 generations or even farther, clear to Adam, because the curse started with Adam. And I believe as we've come to an understanding of these and being set free from these curses, that we're gradually also coming into life and health. And as we ourselves obey the word of the Lord and live a holy life, righteous unto the Lord, and quit sinning so that we can be holy unto the Lord, we're reversing the cause of sin, because death is the cause of sin. Okay, I'll make some of you real happy with my next subject. Tattoos and pierced ears. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. But do we want to be a kingdom people? Do we want to be to keep obey the word of the Lord? Do we want to be holy unto the Lord? Do we want to have a long life and be able to declare the word of the Lord? Well, if we do, then we've got to take these things and obey them. God didn't put them in here just to be there. He put them in there for us to obey. And then it's up to each one of us to do that which we do unto the Lord. You do it unto the Lord. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 28. Something's the matter here. I've got something wrong. Now, let's try. No, that's... Well, something's wrong here. It's the Deuteronomy... 19 and 28. That's right. It's Leviticus. I see it marked here where she said to 21 and 6. That is a reference also there to slavery, of piercing, of drilling a hole in the ear, Exodus 21 and 6. And that's what I wrote down here, the right chapter, but the wrong book. So it's Leviticus 19 and verse 28. And it says, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you, for I am the Lord." Now, the Lord caused something to happen to cause us to find this verse. We were praying for a woman one time, and she had pierced ears. And we could not seem to get through to get her delivered. And finally, we ended up dealing with Cleopatra and Jezebel. Cleopatra and Jezebel. And the Lord impressed on some of us that were praying that she had to take out her pierced ears and renounce them and renounce the spirit of Cleopatra. And Cleopatra also is a spirit that causes women to paint their eyes all up. Painted eyes is also a spirit of Cleopatra and of Jezebel. So when she removed her earrings and renounced them, and we prayed for her, the Lord delivered her from the spirit. It had to come out. It had to obey. But up until she did that we had no authority over that spirit. And from that, we found that tattoos
are abomination to the Lord, and those who have tattoos need to renounce them and ask the Lord to forgive them, and then break the curse of it that's on you because you've done that, because you've mutilated your body. And the same with pierced ears. And we have found that if people, women who have pierced ears, will renounce them, and you take and break the curse and hold that place where the ears are pierced, that God will restore and close up those pierced ears. I won't say he does every time, but I've known of many cases that the Lord has closed up the hole that was there that you mutilated your body. It's also, pierced ears is also a sign of slavery. A sign of slavery. Yes? Yeah. Lord, as your faith is, amen. Yep. Lay hands on them and curse them, anoint them with oil, and believe for them to disappear. Well, let's look at Exodus chapter 12.
Where are we going?
We've got a half hour yet. I planned on 5:15. I figured 2 hours, and we're just about to get there. So I've got to wind this down quick so we can have some deliverance here. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. And this is when the children of Israel were getting ready to come out of Egypt. And it says, "And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I see, destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt," or the land of sin and death. Egypt represents death. And the Lord says that when he sees the blood, he will not strike us with the plague that he's going to put upon Egypt. So we come and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus and renounce and confess our sins and break the curses. We have life instead of death. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. And we find that Jesus, in Galatians chapter 3, that Jesus became our curse. And that gives us the right, that it is written, to break the power of the curses of our ancestral heritage and our own. It says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." So Jesus took our curse. And I believe that also that when the blood flowed from his side and came to the ground, that it also took the curse of the land, if we can appropriate that and apply it. I believe that curse also is broken at that time, but it's still in existence amongst us. Mark chapter 12, chapter 16, Mark 16, and verse 14. Mark chapter 16 and verse 14. So we have the authority to break the curses in the name of Jesus. And the Lord says that if we obey his word, he'll not put any of them upon us. And we apply and appropriate the blood. "And afterwards he appeared in another form unto the two as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue," or the other disciples, "and none of them believed them. And afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach and teach the gospel to every creature or every person, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow you and me, if we believe, that believe, in my name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall you and me cast out devils. We shall speak with new tongues, and we shall remove Satan, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So he said that we have the authority to break the curses because Jesus became our curse. We have the authority to cast out devils because Jesus said, "I give you that authority in my name. In my name I give you authority to do that." And then in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, It says here, "And we overcame him," Satan, Lucifer, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And we love not our lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them." So we have authority to in the name of Jesus, to cast out Satan and to overcome the devil through by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We testify and appropriate and apply the blood of the Lord Jesus. And then finally, in Revelation 22, Jesus says, verse 10, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And we've been reading the prophecies and the sayings of this book, and they're not sealed. For the time is at hand, and he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that's righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his work shall be. So we live in grace, but we're to work, for by our works will our reward be. For he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do or keep my commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that which Adam had a right to and didn't take. We now have a right to the tree of life, that we may enter in through the gates into the city to come. And we're going to have deliverance in whatever area that he comes. But you've got a lot to study. It's the things that the Lord has showed us and brought us through. And we have learned by incidents and things that have happened in our lives, as we've in our for our own selves and in others, as we prayed with them, and we're passing it on to you that you use it for the kingdom, become kingdom people and use it for the kingdom, Brother Jim.
Again, let me say to you that our only hope, our only reason for receiving deliverance is to serve God in a better and a way that we can minister to. Let our Lord minister through us. He wants a clean vessel. And this is why we seek deliverance. And we end up in a hurry. And I'm going to add one more thing before I start. I don't
you
like to get up.
You got just a quarter after.
Okay, well, I've got a lot of list here. When you walk out of here, a lot of you are going to have received deliverance. When you walk out of here, the devil's going to say, you didn't receive anything. That's not real. You didn't get it. And if you accept that, well, you're going to hear it in your mind. And if you accept that, well, you lost it. You just lost it. As you receive, as you agree with it, but the scriptures tell us where to agree as touching anything, it shall be done unto them. And if you agree with the devil, he'll work it also. So you don't agree with that. And another way that you'll lose it, if you walk out of here and you go back into the same thing that you were involved in before, whatever it was that you received deliverance from, if you become involved in it again, it'll come right back on you. And the scripture says that when he comes back,
what?
He brings seven worse than himself, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. I'm going to break curses. Most of these are curses. I listed them as curses. Well, they were curses. That's what he taught on. I'm going to break curses as we go down the line. There are a few scriptures, demons that I want to call off. For instance, I want to call out tradition, that spirit of tradition right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Religious tradition, teachings of the church, a form of church, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to call that out. I command it to go. Those former teachings that were erroneous, those just because it was tradition, just because daddy did it and granddaddy did it. In the name of Jesus, I command it to go. In Jesus' name, loose these people and come out. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loose them and let them go. Loose them. In the name of Jesus, idolatry. I call idolatry out. In Jesus' name. We make idols out of everything in this country. There's a God of sports, there's a God of pleasure, there's a God of sex, a God of just anything you place before God. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, I break that idolatry. Whatever you've made a God of, come out in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Come on, agree with me now. Agree. Take a deep breath and force them out. They're here, they've got to go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Idolatry. Idolatry. Come out of them. Come out in Jesus' name. And I break that curse or that spirit of suicide, I call suicide out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. He spoke of that. In Jesus' name, I call suicide out. In Jesus' name, you'll not have that person or these people in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break your hold in Jesus' name. Loose them and come out. Loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus. My God loves you. My God loves you, and He wants to take care of you. You have no right to take your life. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. False teaching. False teaching in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call false teaching out. Incest. Incest. That spirit of incest in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break that ancestral curse of incest. It came down through the bloodline in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break it back to the Garden of Eden, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll not operate in your life any longer. I take authority over it by the Word of God. It is written in the Word. I break that curse in Jesus' name, and I call it off. I call that incest out, the curse of incest, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call false gods out, all the false gods you made, in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name, false gods. I break the curse of a bastard. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of the bastard that came down through generation lines. In Jesus' name, I command it to loose these bodies and come out. You'll not operate any longer. I release you from the curse of the bastard, your children from the curse of the bastard. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, loose them and come out. Curse of a bastard. I break that curse of having sex during a period. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. People never thought of that, but it brings a curse, and I destroy the power of that demon that came in the name of the Lord Jesus, that loosed a curse on you. Loose them and come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Curse of abortion. And that covers anybody that was, even if you advised someone to have an abortion, or even spoke with them about it and enticed them to have an abortion, as well as he said, the people that owned the building, and the doctor that performed it, and the nurses that were there. That curse of abortion, it covers people, especially those who had an abortion performed on them. Curse of abortion, I break the power of that curse. I release you from that terrible bondage that's on a woman from having an abortion. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask the Lord to minister peace to your body in the name of the Lord Jesus after this curse is gone. In Jesus' name, I call it that curse of abortion out. I call the very spirit itself out in Jesus' name. Loose them and come out in Jesus' name. Anyone that's had an abortion, I call that out in Jesus' name. You will not harass these people any longer. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come out in Jesus' name. Curse of homosexuality, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, if I call things, you say, well, I don't have that. Don't do that. You don't know if that spirit is in there, that means you're homosexual. That spirit could be lying dormant. As soon as he gets enough power, he'll take over. This is how demons work. So if I call things that you don't think are there, just agree with me that if you're in there, you've got to go. That's the way you get deliverance. And I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to spirits. I'm not talking to people, I'm talking to spirits. In the name of Jesus, homosexuality, curse of homosexuality, curse of bestiality, curse of lesbianism, curse of whoredom, curse of wickedness, and curse of nakedness. Come out in Jesus' name. I take authority over every one of those curses in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I break the power of the curse over every person here in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break it backwards for even to the Garden of Eden. I'll not lose you 10 generations. To the Garden of Eden all the way back, that you'll not have dominion or power, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I break the power of these curses. You know, you're walking under a lot of curses. You might not know it, but there are curses here. And this that Glenn has listed here, if you want to be free from them, agree and work with me, and let's get these things moving and get them out. It's not a stigma to have a curse. It's one to hold on to one. So let's get rid of it.
And then, can I say something? We're back there in the back watching, and we were just saying, why was no deliverance coming? Because we all know we're under. Brother Glenn just told us, and we were just thinking, you know, I think people are afraid when, like he said, a curse of the bastard or incest, and those bloodline curses are on the blood. It doesn't mean you're walking in it, so if you feel a tickling, want to cough, I'm watching people stifle their coughs instead of letting them go. Listen, there's get free from this stuff so you can have more of Jesus and get cleaned up for the kingdom. We've been hearing about the kingdom all week. And I tell you, we need to clean up so we can go on in. So breathe in. Put your feet on the floor, flat on the floor. And if you think you hadn't got one, I had somebody tell me a while ago, cast it out of me if you can. I said, well, we can't deliver you from your friends, so just keep it. So, but if you want deliverance, listen, work. You got an opportunity is what I want.
Those curses, now you say, well, you know, I don't want anybody to know about that, but let me tell you about this one right here. You'll know, I don't have to tell you. Cancer. I speak to cancer. Anybody want to hold on to your cancer? In the name of the Lord Jesus, I speak to cancer. I command it to dry up in the name of the Lord Jesus, to shrivel in the name of Jesus, not to bear fruit in anybody here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call cancer of the uterus. I command it to loosen and come out. Cancer of the prostate, cancer of the colon, cancer of the liver, cancer of the lung. In the name of the Lord Jesus, or any other cancer. In the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them and come out. Cancer, that spirit of cancer. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Let them go. The Lord said, let my people go. Let my people go. Demon, you will obey. Let God's people go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, cancer, you have no right here. Loose them and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Curse of holding light esteem for father or mother. A lot of people guilty of that. Come on out. Come on now. I break the curse. I break the curse over you that brought the bondage in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I command it to come out. I call that curse out in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, light esteem of father and mother. Curse of perverting the scripture. Yes, we do that. Perverting the scripture. I break the power of that. In the name of the Lord Jesus, for perverting the scriptures. For false teaching. The curse of false teaching. I command it to loosen and come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Curse of adultery. Curse of adultery. Curse of fornication. I break the power of those curses. And I command them to loosen. Loose this people. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Let them go. Let them go. You're a liar, a thief, and a robber. Demon, let them go. You have no right to God's people. Loose them and come out. Loose them and come out. In Jesus' name. Curse of disobedience. Curse of the deceiver. I command you to let this people go. I break your power. I break the hold that you have over this people. I release these people from the bondage of the curse in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I command you to come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Curse of rejecting scripture. Curse of robbing God in tithes. I bet you that most of the people here have been guilty of that. Did you ever get deliverance from it? Did you always tithe when you went to church? Well, if you didn't, you have that curse upon you for robbing God. And I command that scripture, that curse to be broken over you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I call that spirit out, spirit of robbing God in the name of the Lord Jesus. Loose them and let them go. Loose them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command you to turn them loose. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Curse of poverty. Poverty, that simply follows robbing God. Curse of poverty. In the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them and come out. I break the curse of false prosperity. False prosperity. In the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them and come out. Come out, come out. Curse of not hearkening to the voice of the Lord unto His word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I call that spirit out behind these curses in the name of the Lord Jesus. You have no right. You cannot stay in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That curse of sickness. We won't go through all of that. There were, what was it? 39 diseases. And 39 sicknesses in Deuteronomy 28. And they're there. You can read them. And I break the curse. I destroy the power of curse of sickness over God's people who will walk in the word of the Lord, who seek to serve God. Yes. That is important that you do this to get the curse broken over you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I destroy its power over you. I command that curse to leave you now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Curse of making light of the Scripture. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break the power of that curse. In the name of Jesus. Curse of bringing an abominable thing into the house. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'll bet you that over half of the houses here have abominations in them. In the name of Jesus. Yes, we still clean my house. We still find out that there are things that we have overlooked. And the Lord brings them up and shows them to us, and we still get rid of them. And they are of no value to it when you consider what the price you pay to hold on to them. So those abominable things, that curse of abominable things, I call out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. Come on out of there. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and come out. I break the curse of eating fat and the curse of eating blood in the name of the Lord Jesus. I destroy that curse's power in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break it back for 10 generations over your family line, over you, over your children. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command it to loose you now and come out. Eating fat and eating blood. And loose them and come out. Loose them and let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Curse of sexual lust. In the name of the Lord Jesus, this ancestral curses that came down. For 10 generations at least, I break it backwards 10 generations in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break it forward off your children in the name of the Lord Jesus, that it will not pass on from you. And that's where it goes, let me tell you, those things that we become involved in, our children become involved in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, sexual lust. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. I break that curse of the sins of the Father. The sins of the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. I release you. I release you from that bondage of the sins of the Father. It brings curses even into your life and your children's life. In the name of Jesus, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. You have no place here. You have no right to God's people. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I break the curse of tattoos. And curses pierced ears in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, curse of tattoos and pierced ears in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, loose them and come out. That spirit of Cleopatra and that spirit of Jezebel. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call out that spirit of Cleopatra and that spirit of Jezebel. Loose them and come out. Loose them and let them go. Jezebel. Curse of Ahab. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Jezebel, you've got to go. Loose them. Loose them and come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. A curse of destruction. Curse of destruction. I call out that curse of destruction. I break its power over you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Abaddon. Abaddon. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Curse of death. Death. Early death. Curse of early death. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break the power. I break its power. In Jesus' name. And I break the... I call that curse out of you in Jesus' name. It can't stay. You can't have you. It has no right to God's people in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Curse of death. I break the curse off your land. There's a curse been placed on much of the land, probably all of the land of this country. In the name of the Lord Jesus. What do you think those slaves were doing when they were sitting around looking and staring at the ground when they weren't in the fields working? They knew how to put a curse on you, on your land. I break the curse of fat on you. A curse of fat. That was one of the biggest curses a slave put on their people, the masters. A curse of fat. And it's come down through generations. I break the power of that curse and I destroy it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Curse of fat in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them and come out. Loose them and let them go. Curse of hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Loose them and come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Curse of disobedience. This is from a different teaching now. But it's all good deliverance, so let's go on with it. Curse of polluted offering, curse of a broken vow, curse of unbelief, curse of withholding the tithe, curse of not listening to God, curse of disobedience, curse of sickness, curse of plaque in the blood, plaque in the blood, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Curse of disease, curse of rebellion, curse of backsliding, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, loose them and let them go, in Jesus' name. Traditional teaching, I call those that traditional teaching now. I call heart trouble, all types of heart and blood trouble. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break the power of that disease in the blood, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Cancer of the blood, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I destroy the power of cancer in the blood, in the name of the Lord Jesus. You will not operate, in Jesus' name. Diabetes, I curse diabetes in the name of the Lord Jesus. I command you to loose these people in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's any number of people here that are either diabetic or border diabetic in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the power of diabetes over you in the name of the Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just ask right now that you do a healing. Do a healing of those with blood problems, of diabetes in the name of the Lord Jesus. I lay myself before you, Father. And I ask that you heal everyone here who has diabetes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And drive that spirit out, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, send your angel, send your warrior, send Michael, our warrior angel for your people, Lord, to fight that enemy, that spirit of diabetes and blood disease in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I call it out. I call all of the diabetes out in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, these are just repeats on these former ones, but I'll go over this. Curse of the bastard, the incest, lust, adultery, fornication, sex during the period, homosexuality, bestiality, abortion, lesbianism, spiritual whoredom, Satan worship. I break any vow you've made with a demon or with Satan in the name of the Lord Jesus. I release you from your vows and your agreements and your covenants that you've made with demons in the name of the Lord Jesus. I destroy its power over you in the name of Jesus. I command it to leave you now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Any vow or any agreement you've made with a demon. Had a lady in our church that said that she was tired of having to fight it, and so she wasn't going to do it anymore. She made an agreement with the demon. She wasn't going to fight him anymore. Within 2 years, one daughter, a teenage, was pregnant, and the younger teenage daughter was killed in an accident. She didn't fight the demon, but he took the life, and he brought disaster to a young girl by bringing in a child into the world, an unwed mother. You can't bargain with a demon. They'll tell you anything. If you get these thoughts in your mind, if I just close my mind to it, if I don't think about it, it won't work. It won't go away. You might not see it for a minute, but he'll come back to destroy you. He will come back to destroy you. Bestiality, abortion, lesbianism, spiritual whoredom, satanic worship, idolatry, the abominations in our home, light esteem for father and mother, the graven image, perverted work, curse of murder, spirit of murder, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, let's quiet it down. Father, I just thank you that there were some that received deliverance, Father, and that you've touched the lives of some people this day, not only in calling in deliverance, but in the teaching of deliverance. Father, you've made us aware. Change us, O God. Change me, O God. Let the revival start in me this day, Lord. Let us be changed. Let us be a different people. Let us turn to you, O Lord, to serve you. Now, Father, I thank you for cleansing our sanctuary here, our church, for sending angels in to remove every demon, every demonic spirit that came out, that they'll not stay here to light on another person. but put them in chains, the chains of the Word of God, and to remove them from our presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind the retaliation from Satan and his demons to come back and to retaliate against God's people in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you fill every person here of every vacancy that was made by a demon coming out with your Holy Spirit. We praise you and we thank you and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
By your Spirit, just to fill every vessel, Father, to overflowing with your presence. We ask you to fill us, Father, with the precious Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for filling each vessel in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.